Amen. Well, we are continuing our series on faith. How many of you guys have been enjoying our series on faith, getting a grip, getting a good understanding on faith? And I just want to say, I forgot to say this last week, but we have little handouts actually on each table. You can grab one of those, just some notes about the message this evening, so you can follow along. And also, hey, when God speaks something to you, man, jot it down on the piece of paper. The backside is blank, plenty of room. And then after that, should you throw it away? No, store it somewhere safe. And you know what? As you walk the walk of faith, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You can pull out those notes a week from now, a month from now, years later, years from now, and be encouraged and be reminded and be strengthened in your faith walk as a Christian. And so today we are actually, this is our last week on faith. We've come now to the conclusion of our ABCs, which is the letter number F. No, I'm just kidding. It's the letter F. It's the letter F, all right? And we are going to be talking today about faith, the face shield. Faith, the face shield. Now, before we go right into faith, the face shield, I want to do, again, a little brief recap. I promise it'll be brief. Just to make sure that, we've got it. And not only that, but, hey, it's been a week since, well, hopefully it has. I'm hoping you open up your Bible and you read some verses that you learned. But it's been about a week since we talked about it, so let's just do a quick refresher. But remember our ABCs, A was? It's on your paper. So you can, that's right. What faith is, and we learned that faith is, you can say along with me if you want, a persuasion, a firm persuasion, a conviction based upon what you've heard. And faith is simply what you believe, all right? We found out what faith is. Then once we found out what faith is, we needed to find out, how do I acquire this thing called faith? How do I obtain it? How does it become something in my life? We found out that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, if you're going to have the faith, if you're going to have the convictions, if you're going to have the persuasions God wants you to have, they're going to have to come from the word of God. Hearing it, reading it, and the like. All right, but get in the word of God. Then we also learned there's a small principle. I can't just hear it. It's not about hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's about what I hear, do I accept it as the truth? I like to say it like this. You'll see a scripture in John, the Bible talks about, and they certified him as the truth. They certified what he said as truth. All right, so then we learned letter C, that faith must be released. All right, so you can't just have faith. You could have all the beliefs, all the persuasions, all the convictions that you want to have in the entire world, and they will make no difference in your life. You will not produce fruit until you release your faith. What does that mean? We saw in James that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. In the same way, faith with works is alive. Alive, active, will make a difference in your life, will help you produce the fruit that you should produce. You know, the Bible talks about, if you see somebody naked and destitute and you say, hey, be warmed, filled, and clothed, and you don't do anything about it, what good is your faith? No good. All right? You got to do something about it. We found out you can release your faith two ways, by what you say and by what you do. Then we learned that faith must be fed. Letter D, faith must be fed. Hey, listen, if you're going to have strong faith, Pastor Luke brought some cool graphs. I wish I was that cool. I'm just not that technical and cool. I don't have graphs. I thought about, actually it was funny, I thought about bringing a whiteboard and Pastor Luke's like, can you guys put it up over here? And you see that? No, just kidding. He's so good. But we learned that faith must be fed. That just because you've established a faith in your life, it doesn't mean that you can ignore it. You've got to feed it. And you got to keep it strong, especially during the process of once you've actually believed God and you're waiting for the manifestation to happen. You've got to feed your faith, all right? And then last week we talked about that faith must be allowed to be the leader. The moment faith is established in your life, it will begin trying to lead you in your thoughts, in your words, and in your actions. Everybody okay so far? Which brings us along to F, which is faith, the face shield. If you brought your Bibles, let's go in them to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start reading verse number 10. Faith, the face shield. Now, I hope everybody understands today that, again, not all sermons are sermons where, you want to jump up and shout. But and some of them are going to require you and I to think. And you know what? Some of them are going to require you and I to do a little digging. God is not interested in just you and I coming to a church service and warming a seat, if I could say it like that. You're going to have to apply yourself. All right? It's just the same. If you don't apply yourself in school, you're going to flunk. You're not going to make it. You got to apply yourself today with the Word of God. So do all you can to understand what we're saying today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, the Bible says this. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all," here we go, "taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." So all of a sudden now, actually right here in this passage of Scripture that we just read, the idea of faith, the faith shield, actually is brought up, the only time it's brought up in the entire Bible. And so everybody knows, you know, if I'm going to do a study on faith, I'm going to end up going through the verses throughout the Bible, and you're going to come across this verse that brings up the idea, that brings up this thought of faith being a shield. Okay, and as you begin to look at it and you begin to study it to find out what the Bible is talking about, all of a sudden you're actually, when you read this portion of Scripture, it's almost like the Bible opens up a whole slew of what I consider to be vital information. It's almost like, and you know, as we get into the message today, it'll almost be like we change subjects and we're not talking about faith anymore, even though we will be. All right, but all of a sudden now in this study of faith and looking at faith, the faith shield, the Bible brings out a whole slew of what I call vital information. So we see this verse talking about faith, the faith shield. Say that three times real fast. Faith, the faith shield. And it's right smack dab in this battle context. Right smack dab in this battle array. He's talking about Roman soldier armor. He's talking about going to war. He's talking about going to battle. And all of a sudden you come across this verse that says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. So this is what I want to do tonight. I want to go into our points with this phrase. You guys can put it up there in the back, up on the overhead screen. I'm going to go into into our points with this phrase. We find from our study of the shield of faith, all right? We find from our study of the shield of faith, number one, it's on your notes too, that no one piece of armor will guarantee Christian success. No one piece of armor will guarantee Christian success. All of a sudden now you're looking at this passage of Scripture we just read, and Paul the Apostle is speaking to the Christians at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, and he's trying to tell them and he's trying to encourage them and exhort them on how to live and to win the battles of life. I don't know about you, but I want to win the battles of life as a Christian. I don't want to be defeated. I don't want storms taking me out. I don't want the things of the enemy, the things of the world to take me out. And at the end of my life, I stand before God and I wonder what happened. But so he comes along and he's talking to Christians, which we know has been preserved for us for thousands of years for our edification, so that you and I can understand how to win the battles of life. And what you and I need to understand, number one, is that no one piece of armor will guarantee Christian success. Go back with me to verse number 11. Look at what the Bible says here. Verse number 11. He says, and you can underline it. In fact, I encourage you to underline it in your Bible. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse number 13, get ready to underline it again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All of a sudden, the Bible makes a point to say, hey, you need to take and put on the whole armor of God. Not your favorite piece of armor. Not your favorite subject. Let me say this to you. Faith is not a cure-all. If all you know and all you learn and all you try to apply in your life is faith, listen, you're going to find yourself coming up short. The Bible encourages you and I to put on the whole armor of God. No one piece. Righteousness by itself, not going to give you the victory. Everybody follow me? The gospel of peace by itself, not going to give you salvation by itself not going to give you the victory. You're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Look at your neighbor and say, the whole armor of God. You're going to have to put it on, all right? Faith all by itself. Listen, guys, faith is not the cure-all for every situation in life. Everybody following me? That's point number one. That was a pretty easy point, all right? Again, we find from our study of the face shield, before I give you the point, let me say this. As you're looking at these verses, one of the most common mistakes people make is they get caught up on the armor. They get caught up on the breastplate of righteousness. They get caught up on the shield of faith. They get caught up on the helmet of salvation. I remember when I was a little kid, how many of you have ever been to Berean? Berean had a little, his little outfit, actually, it was a plastic armor. And I had the helmet I saw. I was like, Mom, that is so cool. I want it. And I got it. And I had this helmet. It had salvation on it. It had the breastplate. Right? Did anybody else have that? You had it? I can't, dude. I can't. Yeah. All right. And what I do, I went around whacking on things. But when you read this portion of scripture, this is the rut people get in. They start looking at the pieces of armor and they start trying to figure out, they start doing studies on Roman soldier armor. You guys follow me? Anybody ever do that? Or you start picturing in your mind, well, if I need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, what is that like? Well, he says it's a breastplate, so a breastplate covers my chest. You know, if I was a Roman soldier, it covers my chest. Maybe that means that righteousness protects my heart. Maybe, you know, salvation, he refers to it as putting on the helmet of salvation. So maybe that means that somehow that salvation, it protects my mind. Everybody following me? Because you guys are looking at me like, and we get caught up in the Roman soldier armor, and I believe we really miss what God is really trying to say to us. In fact, when we realize what God is trying to say to us, it takes on a whole more important meaning than we ever thought possible. All right? So this is what Pastor Joe wants to do with you. I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 8, and Pastor Joe is going to try to throw you for a loop. I am on purpose going to try to throw you for a loop. I need you to think today. I need you to not just take the word of God and say, oh, put on the whole armor of God. Yeah. And then go play Xbox later tonight. I need you to have an understanding today. I need you to, listen, we're talking about winning or losing the battles of life here. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8. Paul writing again. He wrote the book of Ephesians, as well as 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8. This is what he says. He says, but let us who are of the day, that's you and me. We're of the day, not of the night. We're of the light, not of the darkness. All right. But let us who are of the day be sober. Watch what he says. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. If you said, uh-oh, you were right. If you were talking about this. Wait a minute. When I read this verse, all of a sudden I take a time out and I say, wait a minute, Paul. Did you forget what you said in Ephesians chapter 6? Did you make a mistake? Because I don't know about you, but does this seem to anybody else like a contradiction? Or at the very least, something is not adding up right? Because Paul, right here, you said we need to put on the breastplate of faith and love. I thought it was the breastplate of righteousness. In fact, when I look at Ephesians 6, nowhere in Ephesians 6 do I see you talk anything and say anything about love. But where did that come from? Okay, and then all of a sudden he comes along and he says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Wait a minute, Paul. I mean, that one's kind of right. The helmet of salvation, but you say that you bring up this thing about hope. What's going on? You guys following me? Let me make this statement now. Paul, how many believe that the word of God was inspired by God? We could say God, all right? God does not stay true. Paul does not stay true to his Roman soldier symbolisms throughout the Word of God. Neither should we. Do you agree? Wait a minute. Because if this is God's inspired Word, and God does not stay true to his Roman soldier symbolisms throughout the Word of God, then you know what? I'm not going to either. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it either. Are you guys following me? That means, in other words, that means if I come to the conclusion somehow that righteousness works like a breastplate in my life, and if it covers the chest in Roman times, that means somehow that it covers, then I've just made an absolute statement. Are you guys following me? And also now I try to apply my conclusion to the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians, and it doesn't line up, because all of a sudden now it's not the breastplate of righteousness anymore, it's a breastplate of faith and hope. Yay. Okay, I know I'm going slow. I need you to get it. All right, I don't need to leave you behind today. Let me take you back now to Ephesians chapter 6. And this is what I want to do. I want to take out the Roman soldier armor out of this verse and read it to you. Oh my God, Pastor Joe, are you taking things out of the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says when you do that? What happens? Don't worry, we're going to take it out for the purpose of you seeing something, and then we're going to put it all back in. All right, and then it's all going to come together. I promise. All right. So let's start Ephesians chapter 6. Let me start in verse number 13. I'm going to read this portion of scripture to you without the Roman soldier armor in it. And watch what it says. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. I got that, Pastor Joe. Thank you, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore with truth, having put on righteousness, having the gospel of peace, taking faith, taking salvation, and the word of God. One more time, because I think that's powerful. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore with truth, having put on righteousness, having the gospel of peace, taking faith, taking salvation, and the word of God. All of a sudden now, the real armor of God begins to be revealed to you and I. It's not about the breastplate. It's not about the helmet. It's not about the sword. It's not about the gird of truth and how they work. That's not, the armor of God is truth. And the armor of God is righteousness. And the armor of God is salvation. And the armor of God is the gospel of peace. And the armor of God is the word of God. Are you hearing me today? And putting it on. Now, you may say, okay, Pastor Joe. All right. I got it. But then, Pastor Joe, why does God bring up the armor to begin with? If it's really all about the God, if the armor of God is really all about truth, and these pieces, it's almost like, Pastor Joe, you're saying that these pieces don't matter. Actually, that's not what I'm saying. What Paul is trying to say to you and I today through Ephesians chapter 6, and the reason why he uses comparing putting these things on with Roman soldier armor, is because he's trying to paint a picture to you what life will be like if you live the Christian life and you go out to battle without being protected and without being armed. Are you hearing me today? This because if we send our soldiers over to Afghanistan and Iraq, no helmets, no guns, no tanks, no jets, no protective gear, how long do you think that they're going to last? They're not going to get a single thing done. In the same way, he's saying, remember what we said at the very beginning? You're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Don't think for a moment you could be like a soldier who, if you've ever seen a soldier, you've never seen a soldier go out to battle and all he's got is his shield and his sword. No, he's got the whole thing on. He's got the helmet, and he's got the breastplate, and he's got the shield, and he's got the sword, and he's got his feet shod. He's ready. In the same way, you need to have faith, and you need to have righteousness, and you need to have the gospel of peace, and you need to have truth, and you need to put on the whole armor of God. And all of a sudden now, the reality of what God is trying to say becomes even more important than what we thought of before. Oh, righteousness protects my heart, No, God is trying to say to you, here is the armor, put it on, because if you don't, this is what life is going to be like. Are you hearing me? I've known too many Christians today, where you're sitting, were next to me in youth, and they're not here anymore because they failed to put on the whole armor of God. Are you hearing me today? All right. Now, okay, Pastor Joe, I got it. I'm with you so far. All right? I got it. I'm with you so far. If that's true, then what does he mean by saying put on the whole armor of God. How do I put on faith? How do I put on righteousness? How do I put the effect? You know what? I'm sorry, guys. I skipped point number two. So let me say point number two, and I'll go back to my statement. All right? Because I started going into point number three, and I forgot. Okay. We find from our study of the face shield, number two, we find the armor of truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. I think that you got that, but I wanted to say that. All right? Okay. Now that we got that, so then how do I put it on? How do I put it on? All right? Let me read these to you again, and let me ask you a question. All right, you've got it on your, in fact, if you want to, just go to point number two, get your pen, and get ready to underline some things on your paper. All right? Okay, Pastor Joe, I've got it. I need to put it on. How do I put it on? Look at point number two. We learned about the armor of truth. Underline the word truth there on your sheet. The armor of truth. Righteousness, okay, the armor of truth, underline truth, righteousness, underline the gospel of peace. Then we've got faith, salvation, and then underline the word of God. So you should have four things underlined. Three, sorry, got it wrong. Three things underlined. Truth, gospel of peace, and the word of God. Question. What is the difference between truth and the gospel of peace? Or how about this one? The gospel of peace and the word of God. Or how about this one? Let's go back around. What is the difference between the word of God and truth? Are they not the same thing? help me out here. No, seriously. What is the difference between the word of God and the gospel of peace? Are they not the same thing? And the word of God and truth, they are the same, right? Okay, so because all of a sudden now, when we look at this very first thing, I think this very first thing, truth, makes it easy for you and I to understand how to put on the armor, all right? How do you put on truth? Did you say believe it? All right. That's a step in the right direction. Believe it. Anybody else? You guys are looking at me like, oh my God. I need you to think. All right. How do you put on truth? What did you say? Accept it. And what did you say? I'm so sorry. You live it. Very good. In fact, you three together, that's how you put on truth. You find out what it is and you put it to practice in your life. Isn't that right? And all of a sudden now, so that's how you put on truth, right? Everybody agree? Does everybody agree? Okay, you find out what it is, and you put it to practice in your life. And we just all agreed that, in fact, these three things are the same, the gospel of peace and the word of God. So how do you put on the gospel of peace? How do you put on the word of God? The same. You find out what it is, and you put it into practice in your life. I submit to you, in fact, that this is how you put on the entire armor of God. Righteousness, salvation, faith, all of these, you find out what they are and you put them to practice in your life. I'm going to say it to you like this, and this is point number three, that knowledge and its proper use win battles. This is what it means to put on the whole armor of God. It means to put on what you know about the truth and to put on what you know about righteousness, and to put on what you know about the gospel of peace, and to put on what you know about all, put it on what you know and apply it in your life. This is what it means to put on the whole armor of God. Knowledge and its proper use win battles. In the same light, ignorance and victory will never go together. Are you guys hearing me today? Ignorance and victory in your life is not going to happen. You cannot be ignorant of the things of God and expect to be victorious in your life. Knowledge and its proper use. You know what? The time has come. You and I, we can't afford any longer to let our Bible sit there on the shelf, collect dust, not bring it to church. You know what? You and I are going to have to go beyond just having a relationship with God that is restricted to worship songs. you and I are going to have to find out what the Bible has to say. We're going to have to do some digging. We're going to have to do some studying. We're going to have to do some applying of our life. We're going to have to get ourselves in there and say, God, show me what you want to show me. God, reveal to me what you need to reveal to me, because God, I want to be victorious in life. I want to be everything you've called me to be. I want to do everything you called me to, and I don't want to be held back. I don't want to be defeated. And when I stand before you face to face, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And in fact, not only that, but God, I want a full reward for the rest of eternity. Is anybody in the house today? God, I don't want to be robbed. And God, I don't want to be stolen from. And God, I don't want to be cheated by the enemy. And God, I don't want to be defeated with sickness. I don't want to be defeated by depression. I don't want to be addicted to drugs and alcohol and to the rest of the you-know-what of the world. That means, God, I'm here today, and I'm down on my knees, and I'm opening my Bible to find out what you have to say so I can apply it to my life. Because knowledge, God, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of the Word of God and its proper use win battles. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, you don't have to turn there. I want to put a few verses up on the overhead screen so you can get a picture of what we're saying today. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Notice, it's talking about the people of God. Just because you're the people of God doesn't mean you're going to be victorious. You're going to have to get knowledge, and you're going to have to put it to practice in your life to win the battles of life. Are you hearing me today? Okay? Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. My people are destroyed. Okay, so we went from captivity to destroyed. It's not getting better. My people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. John chapter 8, verse number 32. This is a familiar passage. What does the Bible say? And you shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall make you free, and free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. How are you going to... See, I like things like that. Why? Because I've experienced the truth in my life. I'll never experience that, though, unless I get the knowledge and the truth. Are you guys hearing me today? You know what? God, I want to say that. Maybe the difference between the people who get involved in praise and worship and the people who don't are the people who have found out what the truth can do to them, as opposed to the people who just, oh, this is what we do. Are you hearing me today? Have you found? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 18. Watch what Paul tells Timothy. He says, I charge and commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. What is a prophecy? Is that not the word of God given to somebody in a specific way? Isn't that right? Paul is encouraging him, hey, you need to take the word of, hey, I charge you, I commit to you, dang, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, according to the word of God given to you previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Okay, now I'm not going to go there. You have it on their sheet. You can look it up later. But Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, does anybody remember the story of when Jesus was tempted by the devil? What did he use to defeat the devil? The word of God. He had to know it, and he put it to practice in his life. Hey, listen, if that's the way Jesus won, what makes you and I think that we're going to win some other way? We're going to have to do it God's way. Jesus did the things that he did on the earth to set an example for you and for me. We say it all the time in baptism. Why water baptism? Because Jesus was setting us an example. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus didn't have to be baptized. He wasn't separated from God. He didn't have sin in his life. But he told John, permit it to be so that we can fulfill our righteousness. What was that righteousness? God setting the example for you and for me. Thank God today. Well, he'll never ask us to do something. Are you hearing me? That he hasn't gone ahead. He hasn't already gone ahead of us and done. Okay? Okay. So knowledge and its proper use wins battles. In the same way, ignorance and victory will never go together. This is what you and I must use in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember Ephesians chapter 6? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right? Knowledge and its proper use. To stand against the wiles of the devil, stand in the evil day, Anybody ever gotten a bad report? God's trying to get you to win the battle, okay, with knowledge and putting it into practice in your life. And then, of course, quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's going to be knowledge and its proper use. And the Bible makes it specific again for the 100th time. Knowledge about the truth, knowledge about righteousness, knowledge about the gospel of peace, the knowledge of faith, the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of the word of God. Are you guys hearing me today? Knowledge and the proper use are going to help you win. Which brings us to our next question. Oh my God, Pastor Joe, another question. What are the wiles of the devil? What is the evil day and what are fiery darts? I don't know about you, but I've never been walking through the mall and been like, whoa, that fiery dart almost took me out, bro. Have you? Okay, so I'm gonna go through this one real quick. But what are the fiery darts? What are the wiles of the devil? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 11. Watch what Paul says here. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Can I make a startling statement to you that was made to me? I thought it was kind of cool. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you would agree with that? Okay, let me make this statement. The devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not coming up with new tricks. Hello, somebody. He's not making up new things. In fact, if you want to find out what the wiles of the devil are, what fiery darts are, why don't you, in fact, we're going to do it. We're going to take a little journey throughout the Word of God to see how the devil got other people to fall. You guys follow me? All right. First one I'm going to start with, how about Adam and Eve? Pretty easy, right? Start right at the beginning. Who was the first person the devil took out? Eve. Sorry, ladies. Man, what are the ladies? Gosh, can't live with them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I love it. Dang, this whole message just went. Lost half the congregation. No, I'm just kidding. I know. I'm just kidding. You know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you were. You know, some people said, "Man, that's not even fair. Adam and Eve, they jacked it up for everybody." If it were me, no sucker. If it were you, how many times have we known to do the truth and we didn't do it? So don't give me that, all right? All right. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to take you through these verses. You're going to have to take Pastor Joe's word for it for now, and then go back. Did I put on the notes? Go back and look at these stories. Dang, I forgot. All right? Adam, Eve, how did the devil get Eve to fall? You know, when you watch movies and you see the devil come into somebody's house, the whole house is like, and there's lightning, and all the lights go out, and people are screaming, and blood goes everywhere, and all right, sorry. If you've ever, no, I'm not going to go there. All right. Okay, and this is people's idea of the devil. You know, possess people. You know, all this kind of stuff. And we get this idea, and yet the devil messes with us. The devil messes with us more. In fact, we allow him to operate more in our lives than we ever thought. The way he got Eve to fall. Notice what he did. He came up to her like a friend. Did God really say? Did he really say you can't eat of this? I mean, look at how good it is. No, you're not going to die. That's not what God meant. You're not going to die. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you'll be like him. And you'll know the difference between good and evil. Is this not called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Right? You follow, right? It's almost like the devil comes up like a friend. And he begins to try to tell her about opportunities that she was previously unaware of. He doesn't come in storming with a bunch of demons, beat him up, and eat the fruit. I'm gonna kill you. All right, this is. I didn't mean that to be funny. So let me sum it up. What did he use? He used thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. You may have heard me talk about this before. That's what the devil used, thoughts, ideas and suggestions. Fast forward, look at Jesus says. Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil, and he's been a liar from the beginning. In fact, he can't tell the truth because he speaks from his own resources. He's a liar and the father of, that's what he does. He lies. Fast forward, you come up to Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody remember that story? And all of a sudden, they sell their property and they get this great amount of money and they go and they present it in the same way that the guy who got all the attention presented it, as if they gave the entire thing, when in reality they held it back. And listen, God wasn't against them holding it back. He was against them lying. Okay, it's interesting to know what Peter says to Ananias and Sapphira before they drop dead. He says, Ananias, how is it that the devil has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Question, how do you fill somebody's heart? Can I just, like the Matrix, jump into Antonio? Ah! and put something in his heart and make him do something? Can I do that? How do I get into his heart with thoughts, ideas, suggestions? Dude, it'll be so cool. It'll be so fun. So what, we get drunk. So what, we smoke. Whatever, I don't know. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, thoughts, ideas, etc. Fast forward, you come to Revelation. What does the Bible say about the devil? That when people see the devil, they will marvel. This is the one who caused all the trouble? Really? Are you serious? This is the one who deceived the nations? And then all of a sudden he gets put away for 1,000 years and he gets released. And guess what he decides to do? Deceive the nations again. No new tricks. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you deceive somebody? That's right, you got it. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Let's do a little rewind for a moment. Oh, I forgot Judas. You know the Bible says that the devil filled Judas's heart to betray God? Okay, it's just like Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, let's rewind a little bit. How about the devil? Do you know how the devil fell? How is it, O son of the morning, that you said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens, I will make myself God? What did he do? Before there was ever a tempter, and let me say this to you, because thoughts, ideas, and suggestions don't just come from the devil, all right? You have a bad thought, idea, suggestion, not necessarily the devil, all right? It can come through your eye gate, what you're allowing come through the TV, what you're allowing yourself to watch, what you allow yourself to hear. You know, we just think, so I want to get drunk. It's just music, Pastor Joe. It's just music. God, take a chill pill. All right? But notice what happened to Lucifer. How is it? He said in his heart, what was it? It was thoughts. It was ideas and suggestions. And it got him to what? It got him to fall. Okay? Today we learned that the devices of the devil are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. This is what knowledge needs to. This is how knowledge becomes the armor by which we defend ourselves and we overcome. So if you were going to say anything about the shield of faith, it's almost as though, first and foremost, the shield of faith becomes a shield in the sense of that it's a filter. And it should filter the thoughts that come into your mind. Are you hearing me? What did we say? What have we said? In fact, throughout the ABCs, we said that faith is supposed to govern what you think, say, and do. All right? And when thoughts come into your mind that are contrary to the Word of God, how have you have had to find out the truth, you've had to apply it to your life, and the way that you apply it is when the thought comes, you say, that doesn't line up the Word of God, just like Jesus did. No, devil, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. No, devil, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You're stupid. Get out. No, okay? This is the armor that God speaks of. It's the knowledge of the things listed, and its proper use, and that will give you the victory in life. If you got something good from God's word today, you can give him a great big praise.